An all-female voyage investigating the ocean plastic crisis has set sail from Auckland this morning. The all-female crew left Westhaven Marina in the early hours before it heads to Aotearoa Great Barrier Island, the Bay of Islands, and then on to Tonga. It's all organised by a UK-based non-profit Expedition, which leads research missions internationally. It's one of 10 planned by Expedition over the next 18 months, with the only one that's setting sail from New Zealand. There's one Kiwi on board this expedition, Rawania Wikaira. I spoke a little earlier to Rowan Henthorne, who's leading the all-female crew. I asked her how the preparations are on board.
I'm sitting on the deck. It's a little quieter up here. Everyone's downstairs getting ready, getting all prepped to go.
So, leaving today, first tell us about the mission, though. What is the purpose of what you're doing?
So, with X Expedition, we're actually doing a global study mapping plastic pollution back to sources on land. So, we have lots of different trips planned all around the world over the next few years, and we're really trying to understand local, regional solutions to the plastic pollution crisis.
And just how big is it? What do we know about the volumes in our oceans?
We have trillions and trillions of pieces of plastic floating into our oceans. And the bad news is that it's only increasing. Plastic production is increasing. And things like action on the Plastics Treaty has stalled. So it's more important than ever to be providing the data and the evidence needed to help areas find local solutions to plastic pollution.
In fact, in the last decade, the volumes have multiplied extraordinarily.
Absolutely. I was on the boat in 2018. We travelled from Hawaii to Vancouver. It's quite staggering to think about the amount of plastic pollution we saw there, and that's only increased tenfold in that time.
So when you look at what you can achieve with something like this, what are some of the core elements of what you're doing? Obviously, there's the science itself, and then there's the sharing of it, yeah?
Yeah, storytelling and telling, you know, what we're seeing and what we're experiencing is a really important part of X Expedition. When I was back on the trip in 2018, what I saw inspired me to go home to the Isle of Man and introduce legislation banning 10 of the single-use items that we use there. So if we can inspire people and share that story, it encourages people to act and find solutions. Everybody has something that they can contribute to solving the crisis. So it's just about supporting people and finding their role in that.
So who else is on board with you for this journey?
We have an incredible crew of 10 women from all over the world. We have some scientists, we have educators, we have some students. We have a wonderful student from Auckland with us, Rowania. And then we also have our professional crew. So we have our skipper and our first mate that are here to keep us safe.
And the vessel itself, you're sitting on deck there. I can hear the gulls squawking in the background. The vessel itself, just tell us a little bit more about the vessel and then the gear on board.
Yeah, Windshift is a 70-foot sailing vessel. Very safe, very sturdy. It's going to keep us safe on our trip all the way up to Tonga. A monohull, and she's a catch. So she's got two masts. I'm very much looking forward to setting off today and seeing how she sails. And then in terms of the equipment we've got on board, we've actually got a really important piece of equipment called an FTIR from Elmer Perkins. And that actually helps us to determine what types of plastics we're seeing. So it sends a signal into the plastic, and then we can figure out which fragments, what kind of plastics they are, and what materials and what items they may have come from. So we put our trawl in the water, which is called a manta trawl. So if you can imagine, it looks quite a lot like a manta ray, and it glides along the surface of the water collecting plastic fragments. And then we use the FTIR to analyze those plastic fragments and try and understand what items they may have come from originally. So we can map that up from the sea up to the source and find solutions as to how we can stop that getting into the ocean in the first place.
Typically, what are the items? Are there several really predominant categories of product, if you like, that then end up as being fragments in our ocean? What do you find typically?
So it really varies region by region, which is why collecting this local data is really important. We did a expedition back in Antigua a few years ago, and we found a lot of paint and resin chips in the water. So we were able to trace that back to the large maritime and boating industry in Antigua and the boatyards. So it helped then to inform policy and decisions are in Antigua around, paint management and boat management in the boatyards. So it'll be really interesting to see what we find as we leave Auckland and sail up to Tonga. We're not sure. Obviously, it's easier for the single-use plastic items to kind of make their way off the streets, down the rivers and into the waterways. So often we find pieces of film, but a lot of the time we're finding those small fragments that have broken up. So it shows how important it is to use that analysis and determine where those fragments could have come from. Because when you look at them in the sieves, they just look like small microplastics, and it's really hard to tell what they originally came from.
Well, also there's the distance that they will travel, and this is where I guess the understanding of ocean movements and everything else comes into it. How can you localise what you're finding as opposed to something that might have been around the world and back again?
Yeah, absolutely. So with the FTIR, we can actually get different signals from the plastic depending on how long it's been in the ocean. So we might get a signal that says that plastic has become oxidized, and that's an indication that it's been in the water for a long time and been weathered, whereas newer pieces of plastic would come up as primarily just their polymer type. So we're doing FTIR analysis on some of the litter that we find in Auckland on the streets, and then also on the coast and the beach litter surveys that we're conducting, and then in the waterways. So we're hoping we can match and then trace those signals back to sources. And you're right, a lot of those pieces will have been in the water for a very long time. So it's about distinguishing between those and figuring out what the solutions could be.
With how much detail can you track back to source? Like literally back to brands? And potentially even where they may have been bought?
Not so much where they would have been bought necessarily, but it more you can understand what type of plastics, I'd say. So things like sweets and lollies and wrappers, quite easy to distinguish. Certain brands will use certain types of plastic. And obviously food grade plastics are a certain type as well. So you can start building up picture. So it's as specific to say one piece came from here, but overall the study should be able to identify trends, and then we can kind of use that to inform policy.
You mentioned the Antigua example. Are there other examples where you've been able to argue on a fairly localized basis where a pollution has come from and been able to argue for change?
So I'd say Antigua is probably the best example of that. We obviously had to take a bit of a break during COVID. So I guess our research aims have shifted in the last, 10 or more years that we've been doing this. Originally, we set out to try and map where the plastics were. So when I went across the North Pacific in 2018, we were really trying to determine how much plastic was in the North Pacific gyre, where the hotspots were, and then using that to inform decision making around, just to identify the problem primarily. And now this new expedition, which is launching with the New Zealand trip, is really trying to do that and identify those sources on land. So this is the first time we will have done that work since the Antigua project. So it'll be really interesting to see what comes out of it. And it's really, a practical application of research, which is incredibly important.
First stop, Aotea, Great Barrier Island, I understand, for a cleanup there. And is it
Yes. Is
it a receptacle in some ways, unfortunately, for some of the mainland's pollution or rubbish?
Yes, it's a really interesting case, actually. So Great Barrier Island, we're working with the Sustainable Coastlines New Zealand to do a cleanup there. And the way that the prevailing winds and the currents come out of the Hauraki Gulf mean that actually a lot of the waste that is coming from Auckland actually travels through it. And Great Barrier Island actually almost acts a bit like a land net in terms of catching the items that are drifting in the currents out of the Gulf. So it will be really, really interesting to see what we find there. We've done some beach surveys so far in the last few days, and I have to say Auckland's beaches and streets are incredibly clean. Obviously, we found a little bit, but you really do have a beautiful city here.
When do you think you might be able to report, Rowan? There's obviously all the work to do first, but when do you hope you might be able to report on findings?
So the wonderful thing about the way that we're collecting data is that it goes on to the marine debris tracker in real time. So you can actually go onto the marine debris tracker website and find out information about the data that we're capturing already. And then we're working with our partners at the University of Georgia to synthesize that data and come out with solutions. So I would imagine we'll be producing reports for each expedition fairly soon after each expedition, and all of the data that we collect is open source. That means that local partners can use that data in their own work, which is great.
Safe travels.
Thank you so much. Really looking forward to it.